Well, the Lunar New Year is celebrated every year through sumptuous and colorful celebration. A number of us are wearing red, so it's wonderful we get to see this color, and it's not even Valentine's Day yet. In China, it is the most important holiday and celebration, and indeed maybe in a lot of Asia as well. It's an occasion for family reunions, for having wonderful parties, and to take a 2-week-long winter holiday. Now, the Chinese zodiac is a cycle of 12 years, where each year is represented by one of the 12 animals. There's a rat, an ox, a tiger, there's rabbit, there's a dragon, a snake, a horse, goat, a monkey, and a rooster, and a dog, and a pig. There is a story in Chinese mythology of a great race that decided which of all the animals made it into the zodiac, and in what order. Now, the Jade Emperor, who was the ruler of all gods within Chinese mythology, he hosted the race. And to finish the race and become one of the 12 animals in the calendar, the animals had to cross a river. The great race loomed just on the horizon, and the cat and the rat were best of friends at the time. And together, the two of them hatched a plan to ride on the back of the ox across the river together. They knew that the large and hardy ox was accustomed to crossing rivers and carrying large loads, and so they would likely finish first. The ox probably wouldn't notice the cat and the rat on top of them. At the start of the race, the two animals slipped on top of the ox, and so as they traveled, they whispered to one another, "Isn't this great? We're getting a free ride, and we're going to win the race." But as the cat and the rat rode, the cat was jolted abruptly forward, and with the sudden force, the cat went flying off the back of the ox and into the river. And as he looked back, he saw the rat saying, "See ya, buddy." And the cat let out such a piercing hiss, which was directed at the rat, but by then it was too late. And the ox, with the rat on top of him, was already too far ahead of the cat. Even to this day, the cat still holds a grudge against the rat, and this is why cats hate water, and they always hunt rats every single chance they get. While the ox then lumbered towards the finish line, the ox was going to come first, and suddenly the rat leapt from the ox's back and crossed the finish line first. And the ox crossed the finish line a moment later. However, the ox was too composed to sort of make a big fuss and let everyone know that he was had. And the rat tricked the ox into giving him a ride. Oh, I said that already. But besides the tricks that the rat played in the great race story of the Chinese zodiac, there are other legends about its priority of place in those animals. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but in Chinese and in the Asian lunar calendar, this is now the year of the rat. So we've begun the cycle if you're a follower of Chinese zodiac mythology. Now, in Chinese mythology, the origin of the world is due to the rat. In the beginning, the universe was dark and without form. Sound familiar? Before the earth and heaven was separated, there was a rat. And it was said that it was the rat that bit a crack in the shell of the world and let the air in. And the little rat was the hero to start the world, separating heaven and earth. And this story shows the importance of rats in Chinese mythology and culture. Now, in ancient China, rats were seen as a sign of wealth, not necessarily disease and vermin, but a sign of wealth and actually surplus. Why? Because their high reproduction rate. Ancient Chinese culture believed that rats are a lucky symbol of fertility, and so married couples with difficulty conceiving used to pray to rats for children. And this is where we come to the scriptures, and this is where, as followers of the one true God, we can say, actually, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, not a rat. And we can come to the God who created all things, and even in our desperation wanting children, we can pray to the one who hears our cry, not the rats. Now, the symbols, traditions, and festivals of the Lunar New Year are deeply rooted in more than 5,000 years of human civilization and culture, tradition and belief, and indeed superstition. And many Asian households observe traditional celebrations and practices. Perhaps you, as I, grew up in some of these. However, some of our Lunar New Year celebrations focus too much on our very short earthly life. And it focuses on our hopes of monetary success. Christ's followers, from whatever ethnicity and culture they come from, much as they value their culture, must seek to understand the symbolism of the New Year and such celebrations, and recognize the Creator that's behind the entire universe. Not just the calendar, not just the moon, not just the zodiac cycle. These are sometimes just fun things to talk about, but we must put God first, before our culture, and that's a hard thing to do, no matter which culture we come from. We need to put God first before our traditions, and maybe filter some of those traditions and filter them and give them new meaning in the light of Jesus Christ. We must not contaminate our celebrations that we have, such as today, with materialistic or religious beliefs and practices that make ourselves greater than God and declare that we are the ones who are the masters of our fate rather than God. And we want to make sure that we do celebrations in ways that give glory to God rather than take it away from Him. So astrology is one of China's most ancient philosophies, and I would dare say religions. They wouldn't call it that way, but it claims to predict what will happen to people, what will happen to countries, economic trends, conflicts, much, much more. And you wouldn't believe just how much policy is actually centered around that, even though China would consider itself a secular state, a communist state. There are still many forces at play when the ancestors have a voice to say something. There is a superstitious belief that the animal ruling a person's birth year, such as this year's the rat, which exercises a profound influence on this person's life. Horoscopes have developed around the animal signs, just like the monthly horoscopes in the West relating to astronomical signs. They're all related. Worship of the stars and the orbit and the planetary movements. And indeed, in ancient times, that was just as much of a science as it is today. But these religious horoscopes, though popular, are just actually superstition. The practice of astrology is condemned in the Bible, in Isaiah, in many other places. But Isaiah warns followers of God about placing our faith in other things, other people, other creations, such as the planets, and people who interpret the movements of those planets, such as astrologers and stargazers and fortune tellers. The occult use of charts or the worship of celestial bodies, like the moon and the sun and the stars, in order to predict behavior and businesses or relationships or the future, the Bible actually strictly forbids us from doing that. And why? Once again, because we're giving control over of our lives, not to the Lord, but to something else, what the Lord has created. That includes consulting a geomancer or feng shui, because what these superstitions ultimately do is lessen our dependence and our faith in the one true God, the creator of the entire universe, the Lord of heaven and earth. And now, there are some really great traditions that come with the Lunar New Year, and so I don't want to poo-poo everything. We have to understand that there are some wonderful things that this celebration brings up. One of these things are the little red packets that we saw that were passed on. But we do need to consider some of these traditions and what they actually mean, and we need to sometimes consider what we're trying to communicate to others when we're doing that. So in wishing one another a blessed new year, little red packets are often filled with money. And they're given to children and to parents, to grandparents or others. Now it's good to show love and respect, But giving these envelopes are supposed to be characterized by love and respect and not fear. Maybe fear of reprimand because we didn't give them enough. And interestingly enough, in Asia, there are charts telling you how much to give to certain people, depending on how they're related to you. If they're children, if they're younger, if they're older, if they're involved in your company. And in a way, it's a way of sharing good karma, making sure that the good luck comes back to you. So you want to make sure that you give each person within your sphere of influence the right and appropriate amount, expecting that people will give you the right and appropriate amount back. Now again, this, if you take a step back, there's a worldview in play. And it's one that is characterized by fear, one that is really judged by karma, good acts and bad acts, and the way that things are actually weighted in how you do things. And so in many ways, it's a works-based salvation. Got to do enough good stuff to outweigh the bad. And then your fate is decided upon by the universe. And so, once again, we have to consider, what are we communicating by sharing these little red packets? Is it good luck? Is it hoping that we do not receive something bad, so we give something good? Is it because we are fearful that we're not showing enough love to our friends and family? Or is it actually an expression of love, gratitude, and respect? I hope it is the latter. Let's move on. In our Chinese New Year greetings, it is better to bless each other in peace in the New Year or joy from God rather than wishing each other's greatest wealth and happiness. As we heard from Li Hong this morning, life is not always filled with happiness. In fact, it is filled with great challenges, sometimes health-related ones. And so our challenge for us is to find faith even in the midst of great health adversity. And so when we wish each other a Happy New Year, I'm hoping that we would focus on the one who is in charge of our lives. And let us bless one another and remind each other to have faith in the one who determines all that happens around us. We have reason to be joyful, as we sang this morning, because we are blessed by God, by saving mercies and his pardoning grace. We have Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. He, as we sang this morning, died for us. He redeemed us, and he rose from the dead, having destroyed the power of sin and death. And he brought us everlasting life. That is the ultimate red packet that he's gifted to us, one of self-sacrifice, one that he's modeled for us to follow in his footsteps. For the Christ follower, Christ alone is the basis of our hopes in this new year. Not the rat, not the ox, not the cat, not any of those zodiac animals or the sign. A couple more thoughts regarding the Lunar New Year. Many of us come from cultures where we would scramble right before the new year to clean the house. Because if you clean on the New Year's Day, you can wind up risking sweeping all the good luck away. Now, there is something good about cleaning one's house, you have to admit, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we approach it in a way that it seems to cause us fear and anxiety, and that we must do things almost in a way that is chaotic, not thought-filled, but fear-based. Once again, as I spoke about that last year, fear can make us do some very strange and interesting things. Let us be motivated by love and not fear. So it is not wrong to clean one's house. It's not wrong to clean it right before the new year, but let's remember why we're cleaning it. It's not because we need to get it ready before we run the risk of sweeping out the bad luck. It is because we want to have a nice and tidy house. All such superstitions are ultimately meaningless and in a sense yet dangerous, because they can make us do things out of fear, pulling us out from the faith that we have in the one who's in control of our lives. Finally, there are some really great Chinese New Year traditions, such as visiting friends and family and relatives and exchanging oranges, giving red envelopes, wishing God's blessings and peace to our friends and neighbors. These are meaningful social and family encounters that I think Asia knows and understands well. Family, friends are very important. We do things together all the time, even if it's just sitting and watching a strange movie on Christmas Day. These are good things to celebrate. Family is a good thing to celebrate. But once again, if we place family before God, we are running the risk of making our family our idol rather than worshiping God. So let us, brothers and sisters, make sure that we worship the Creator of all things, as John 1 has said, as Genesis 1 has said. And when we wish somebody a blessed or peaceful Asian New Year, let's take time to pray for them, and let us together seek God's help to live in a manner worthy of our calling as Christ followers. Let us act in ways that invite opportunities to express our faith in God to others. And let us live in such a way that invites those kinds of questions of us. For us, the Lunar New Year is a seasonal celebration of the deeper meaning of the new year, representing a gift of time, as we were praying earlier this morning. It's a gift of time, a year of new opportunities to serve and to glorify God. Friends, may our gracious Lord grant us true joy, true peace, true grace, and true hope this Lunar New Year season as we pray and witness for Christ with our friends and family. Thanks be to God. Amen.